This is a true crime in real time update from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
In the justice system, where legacies of decisions linger for decades, few cases have the staying power of the Menendez brothers. Convicted of murdering their parents in 1989, Lyle and Eric Menendez have spent more than three decades behind bars, with their case periodically reemerging in the public eye. Now, a new Los Angeles County District Attorney, Nathan Hochman, has taken office and is reshaping the case once again. One of Hochman's first moves was to replace two deputy prosecutors, Nancy Thaberge and Brock Lunsford, who had filed a motion under former DA George Gascon's administration seeking to reduce the brothers' sentences. Thaberge and Lunsford's motion argued that the brothers had shown substantial rehabilitation and should be resentenced to 50 years to life, which would make them eligible for parole. Hochman's decision to reassign them signals a potential shift away from Gascon's reform-oriented policies and has drawn significant attention to the direction Hochman intends to take with such high-profile cases. The January 30th to 31st resentencing hearing could determine the Menendez brothers' futures, but Hochman's office has not yet stated whether it will uphold or withdraw the resentencing request. Hochman's statements indicate a detailed review process with an emphasis on examining the case files and treating each brother's case separately. Hochman's approach signals a departure from treating the Menendez brothers as a unit and instead evaluates the specifics of each individual's circumstances and actions. This perspective may allow for a more granular and balanced assessment of justice in a case that has been controversial for decades. The brothers' defense team, led by Mark Garagos, is also pursuing a habeas corpus petition based on newly emerged evidence of alleged sexual abuse by their father, Jose Menendez. The petition includes claims that Eric Menendez wrote letters detailing the abuse before the murders, as well as allegations from Roy Rosselló, a former member of the boy band Menudo, who said Jose Menendez sexually assaulted him. These revelations add another layer of complexity to the case, challenging the prosecution's original narrative that the murders were motivated solely by greed. The defense contends that these claims provide a broader context for understanding the brothers' actions, focusing on the psychological toll of prolonged abuse. Judge Michael Jessick, who postponed the resentencing hearing to allow the new administration time to review the case, acknowledged the significant volume of material involved. Hochman's office is also tasked with responding to the habeas corpus petition, a process that could influence the outcome of both the resentencing and broader legal proceedings. This decision underscores the intricate balancing act between revisiting past decisions and maintaining the integrity of the justice system. It also highlights the importance of judicial discretion in managing such a high-profile and emotionally charged case. The case has reignited public debate, with advocates for the brothers pointing to their alleged victimization and rehabilitation as grounds for leniency, while others argue that the brutal nature of the murders justifies their life sentences without parole. The Netflix series Monsters, which revisited the case, has further polarized public opinion, bringing new attention to the decades-old crime. By shedding light on the personal lives of the Menendez brothers and their upbringing, the series has sparked fresh discussions on the intersections of familial abuse, trauma, and criminal behavior. The widespread public interest underscores how deeply this case resonates with broader societal issues of power, family dynamics, and accountability. Governor Gavin Newsom's role also looms over the case, as the brothers have filed a clemency request. However, Newsom has deferred any decisions until after Hochman completes his review. This delay underscores the high stakes and intricate political dynamics surrounding the Menendez brothers' potential release. Newsom's cautious approach reflects the broader implications of granting clemency in a case that continues to polarize opinions across the political and social spectrum. The involvement of the governor further elevates the case to a statewide platform, where its outcome could set a significant precedent for executive intervention in criminal sentencing. As the January hearing approaches, the Menendez brothers' case remains a flashpoint in discussions about justice, rehabilitation, and the evolving societal understanding of abuse and trauma. The decisions made in the coming months could not only shape the lives of Lyle and Eric Menendez, but also set a precedent for how similar cases are handled in the future. The hearing promises to be a critical juncture where the legal arguments, new evidence, and broader societal shifts converge to determine whether justice is best served by maintaining their sentences or by granting them a second chance. The Menendez brothers' journey from wealthy Beverly Hills teenagers to convicted murderers and now potential symbols of rehabilitation continues to captivate the public. It raises questions about the capacity of the justice system to adapt to new evidence and evolving perceptions of crime and punishment. Hochman's role in shaping the outcome of this case places him at the center of a legal and cultural crossroads where each decision carries the weight of decades of debate over what justice truly means. This case, with its layers of legal complexity and emotional resonance, serves as a test of the justice system's ability to reconcile past convictions with new evidence and shifting public sentiment. In addition to the legal implications, the Menendez brothers' case also reflects broader trends in criminal justice reform. The focus on rehabilitation, the consideration of trauma, and the evolving perceptions of abuse survivors all come into play in this intricate legal drama. As society continues to grapple with questions of fairness and accountability, the case's outcome could offer insight into how the justice system may evolve to address similar cases in the future. This ongoing saga remains a profound reminder of the intersection between law, psychology, and societal change, making it one of the most compelling criminal cases of our time.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you've taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.